an old Mimeo copy that's so faded one can barely read it. But I had my assistant read it, so we do have the Constitution in MP3 format, and I will be glad to send that to our Constitution and Bylaws Committee. David Jackson has agreed to chair that committee, but he wants help. And I will be soliciting members. Is anybody in the room willing to get their arm twisted right now to serve with David on the... I know where you all live, so I will go behind the scenes and find you. But if I've got a volunteer right now, I'll take it. Oh, I love it. I heard Debbie. And who else? Warren? I think that's good for a core committee. Hey, this is going to get recorded. I keep forgetting I'm supposed to be taking minutes as well as everything else. But I'm going to just write that down for a minute. David, Debbie, Warren. And I mean it. Do you realize how important this listserv is? Thanks to our technical operations group, almost any affiliate or group that needs a list now can have one, and we do. That means, for instance, I can send you the MP3 Constitution as an attachment on the list. You can download it to your stream or any device and play it. The Constitution and Bylaws Committee will be asking for input. For instance, Connie Bateman raised a fascinating issue last week. She said, what is our mission and goal statement? And I thought, that's one of the kinds of things we can talk about on our listserv. Well, what is our mission and bylaw statement? Joe Xavier has asked us to consider a serious issue about, do we still need the department to sponsor an orientation center for the blind committee rather than, say, having it folded into the BAC? Well, now we have a chance to talk, but we don't want to leave out people like Patty who don't have a computer and only have a phone. We will be setting up phone conversations on a regular basis. I kind of was waiting, and now that we have the list, we're going to tandem the two, and every couple of months we're going to have a call for the OCB members so that we can keep everybody in touch, and anything that we can send in Braille, I think I now have a source that can help us do that. We can't do that with the Constitution because it isn't in a format that any of us can access and, you know, access in Braille. But we'll be working on the Constitution, and we will hope to present it at the fall convention. And because we want to sort of be in visionary for the future, we want to talk about ways of having our members vote that may mean that they don't have to be present at the convention. So we're looking at ways of having official meetings that can occur outside of the conference and convention. The other thing that we want to deal with is looking at growing our membership. And one of the things that we want to be thinking about seriously is how to do that. And I would like an official membership committee. I know Al Gill has said he would help with that, and I don't know about Al's health at the moment. Is there anyone in the room who would be willing to take on sort of the project of helping us grow our membership? I didn't hear any voices. See, that's kind of... Not sure, Connie, but... We can be creative. You know, we want to brainstorm. But yes. Oh, absolutely. Okay. I'm going to suggest I'll help you find people, Connie. If I can have you kind of as a spearhead, Great. We have at the moment 19 members. And at our convention this time, Warren is our delegate. We need to, have a proper process for electing officers. Because our constitution is so out of date, we elected officers last fall, and we didn't necessarily say how long anybody was serving. And just to review so people know, I'm the president. Lisa Cushman is the secretary. Warren Cushman is the treasurer. And those are the only official officers that the organization has at the moment. So we need to definitely come back and as we're doing revitalizing this affiliate. Let me just see if I have anything else official on my list here. It's about 11:55. I'm going to suggest that those the Constitution, the membership. Can I ask people to turn off their cell phones? I will do that when we reconvene. I'm going to close this portion. Unless anybody has anything else, I'm going to close this portion of the meeting, and we'll resume in about 5 or 6 minutes when people have arrived for lunch. Probably more like 10 minutes. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to raise at this time? Hearing none, I would seek a motion to adjourn. Thank you. Second? Thank you. This portion of the business meeting of the meeting is adjourned. And again, if you're having lunch, would you put out your ticket in front of you so that they know where to set places for lunch? This is Judy Wilkinson. Good afternoon. We have a number of people who have joined us for lunch who weren't here for the business meeting. And I don't think anybody's new at the head table, but Donna, could I ask you to take the mic around and not get to eat your salad and see if there are people who have arrived since we sent the mic around last time? Thank you so much. Donna's coming around with the mic. Welcome. I'm going to state for the purposes of the recording, this is the luncheon meeting of the Orientation Center for the Blind on April 13th with Judy Wilkinson presiding and guest speaker Rosa Gomez, administrator of the Orientation Center for the Blind. Now, Donna, take it away.
Hello, I'm Charles Navarrete. I'm not an OCB alumni, but I came by to support the affiliate.
Good afternoon. My name is David Jackson. Okay. You have to eat the thing. Hello? Can you hear me now? Okay. Good afternoon. My name is David Jackson. I am a member of the OCB alumni, and I've been an OCB alumni-inist for quite a while. I attended OCB in 1993.
Good afternoon. My name is Vic Clifford. I'm here from the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind chapter. I'm an impaired by sight person.
This is Donna Sanchez. I'm from the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind. I went to OCB in 1975-76.
Don Wilcox in Silicon Valley, and I went for 6 months in 1996.
Pete Romero, living in Sacramento now. I attended OCB in November of 72, June of 73.
I'm Bill Hicks. I'm from
Put the mic closer. There you
Okay, Bell Hicks, Ukiah, California, and I'm a first-timer.
I'm Jane Cardis, and I graduated in 1992. It's been such a long time ago. I'm so happy I went to OCB. Great group of people.
And I'm Donna Pomerantz. I'm not an alumnus of OCB, but I am definitely a supporter of all that you are going to be doing here, and I'm glad to hear that you're getting together a bit more, and thank you for allowing me to share the lunch with you.
Donna is a member of this affiliate, and we really appreciate she shows her support by being a real member, paid real dues. everybody's going to want to rush out of here, but if you can pay your dues of $5, what a bargain. What a bargain. I'll be by the door as people leave, and anyone, I'll snag you if you'd like to pay your dues. But, you know, we're thrilled to have Rosa Gomez here, and I'm going to turn the mic over to her because she has a lot to tell us. She wants to hear from us, too. You have a lot of questions for her. This is the first time in years that I can say, let us welcome to our luncheon the administrator of the Orientation Center for the Blind.
Give her a big hand.
All right, thank you, everybody. I just want to say it's just really neat to be here. I'm just really impressed with just all the positive energy and just the enthusiasm. So I just want to say thank you, and to know that after individuals have graduated from OCB that, you know, people are still connecting and coming together. So I'm just glad to be a part of that today, and I'm looking forward to be a part of that in the future. So how about now?
There.
Okay. So, I mentioned earlier that I have been with OCB since September 2011, and in July 2012, I took the OCB administrator position. So, I don't know how much I know. I think I sent a recording for the October meeting, and I think... in October, we were all done with our renovation. So you're all aware that we did the renovation. We now have our second floor of the dormitory wheelchair accessible. We have an elevator built in, and it's a beautiful structure that was erected. And it's when you're riding in the elevators, there's some windows. So for those who are, how do we call it, impaired by sight, can see the, you know, the whole courtyard and all of OCB. So I understand it's just really, really beautiful. And we have renovated teaching kitchens, and we have one of the things, you know, that we're all about, of course, is employment. And so we have our computer classes and computer labs, but they're set up in cubicle style. So if anybody wants to come work for the state, they will be right at home once they get the real job, because we try to mimic that feeling with those cubicles. So as you all know, that we also put in place some apartments. So they're like little studio apartments upstairs. So when you go to the top of the stairs and into the hallway, you turn right. So those rooms down to the right. It's really neat to talk to a whole group of people that know what I'm talking about, because you haven't been there. But to the right, all the rooms at the end are the apartments. So there's a bathroom in between, again, like the same. So two people who are in the apartments would share. But there's the stove and the refrigerator and the kitchen. Kind of small, but, you know, my thought is you can do it there, you can do it anywhere. And we've been having students since this past May who have been moving into the apartments and really getting the opportunity to test out all that those skills that they have learned in their classrooms in a simulated apartment style setting. So that's been a real eye-opener for individuals to really see where their strengths are, if there's any barriers, and what additional support that they need. And that has been, it's been really great for our graduates. We've had two gals who are in the apartment program, and they actually left OCB, and they rented their own apartment together. And so that was really neat. We've had...
What's that?
So they actually moved not too far away, but that was really neat that they, you know, built a friendship and, you know, needed to move out and wanted to stay in the area. One went to school, one's on job search, and they, you know, got their apartment. So we've had other individuals who have moved into the apartments, and after they went into to go some like on student housing, or they went to school. So it was just a really great support for them to prepare themselves for their next step. So we've had some, well, I'm sure since some of you have gone since 1972, I mean, there's still some people there. for those who want to know, Teresa, still there, the home ec teacher, and Shireen. Yep. And let's see. Do people know Jana? So Jana's still there. Let me see. So those are some of our long timers. But we have, this year in December, we hired a new administrative assistant. So this is a person to help assist me with kind of, you know, the whole running of OCB. I think one of the things that's pretty challenging as the administrator to kind of wear such multiple hats that you have to wear in this position, where you're focusing on, you know, making sure that we're really providing the services for students, and then having to switch the case. Okay, how's it going in the kitchen? You know, how's the custodian staff doing? So Matt Millsball is our assistant administrator, and he's been helping out. And like I said, he started in December. We actually have a rehabilitation counselor, and her name is Jessica Grove. And she's been with us since October. She interned at Department of Rehabilitation, and she's been doing some dual sensory loss. And she's just been an absolute blessing to have her with us. I say that she gets it, and she's really there, and she's really real for all our participants who come, and is just really helping. Since she's been there, and this is something that we started that I wanted to share with you guys, that we started in January, is we have some support groups. So one of the things I think back when you guys were attending, we had the administrators who would teach the blind law class. So that is being handled by Jessica, the rehab counselor. But I have said to the students, we are in a time of transition, a time of growth, and I want to make sure that I, as the administrator, am connected with our participants. One of the things I've always said is I came into social service field because I want to help people. I want to be a part of people. And it was always frustrating for me as the direct service provider when I felt that sometimes the people up on top weren't really checking in with us down here at the bottom. So I have told our participants, I want to be still connected with you. I want that opportunity. So while the teachers are having the student staffings, instead of the student body meeting, we are using that time for me to go and connect with the students and having that opportunity to just go over and share ideas. So something that came out of the group was from one of our participants who said, hey, you know, this is great. I'm getting all learning all this stuff. But what I really need is I need some support on how do I accept my blindness? How do I deal with that? So one thing that I've always been really that's been important for me is the discussion around and the support around adjustment to blindness. So we started adjustment to blindness groups, and we've kind of broken them down to have a group that really supports individuals around sudden vision loss, progressive vision loss, for those individuals who have congenital blindness, and then for individuals who have vision loss and other disabilities, as a means for them to go in and just get that support, to have those conversations, to work on the acceptance and, you know, how do you talk to family and, you know, that kind of stuff. So in addition to that, we've also had some new groups that we've implemented, and that is one of the things that we've been talking about at OCB is having different conversations with our consumers that are coming. So why are you coming to OCB? Because it's not just a place to hang out, a place to meet friends. We all know that that happens, and socialization and peer support is so very important. But the other thing is that, you know, we are part of Department of Rehabilitation, and we really are here to help Department of Rehabilitation's field counselors with preparing their consumers for employment. So we have developed some groups to help support that. And we recognize that not everybody will be returning to work. There's some people, maybe they're retirement, or for whatever reason, they're not going to be employed. However, if they are able to independently get themselves to the store, to the doctor's appointments, to go visit a friend, they're not then having to ask their friends or family members to take time off of work to do this for them. So we are helping to support the workforce by ensuring that individuals have those independent skills to take care of themselves. So we have three groups that we've implemented. Some people will leave OCB and they're going to go to school. So we have a school group where they're talking about what is expected of them while they're at school. And, you know, what does it mean to navigate the school system? Talking about, you know, how do you get your reasonable accommodations in school? What does a reasonable accommodations mean? And just going all over those things, looking at websites, talking about FAFSA, and sharing and getting support about being school ready. Then we have a group for individuals who are going to be going to employment after OCB. So talking about what do you need to be ready for employment? You know, can you access the computer, like you say? And, you know, just kind of putting them, you know, having those discussions. Let's talk about how you do some networking. Let's talk about, you know, interviewing skills. What do you need to be ready for resumes? Those kind of things. And just really helping individuals talk about those soft skills. You know, how do you interact in different settings that's related to the workplace? Our third group is what we call community involvement group. And again, this is everybody can participate, but the idea is that even if you're not going to work or school, you're still going to be involved in your community. Your community can be your community at large, your immediate family. And what is going to help you to support you around being involved in your community? One of the things that can be frustrating that, you know, you've come to OCB, you built these skills, but yet your family still sees you as the same person. So how do you, you know, maneuver your community and try to advocate for yourself and to be the independent person that you came to OCB and the skills that you gain and really put those skills to practice? So those are some new groups that we've started. The other thing that we've talked about with the students is really saying this is a place of employment. So your teachers, might be your supervisor, and you've got to listen. And your fellow, you know, student body is, those are your coworkers. So, you know, when we're having, and, you know, you've all been there, right? And know that, you know, it's an adjustment time. And sometimes people want to act out and we're just like, hey, would you do this at the workplace? This is not okay. What would happen if you did this in the workplace? And they say, well, I'd be fired. And we're like, that's right. And so you got to go. So, you know, we're really trying to help support and to change kind of the culture and just really give, you know, setting the bar higher to help support individuals with, you know, meeting their goals. So really looking at why are they coming here to OCB? What is their IPE goal? How can we help support that? And, you know, I think that kind of summarizes. So those are some big things that I've been working on. One of the things, you know, we're always trying to see, you know, what is it that we're doing that we can be doing better? And are there some things that we maybe don't need to be doing? And so just kind of looking at that, I think that, you know, sometimes change is difficult for everybody. So, you know, we've been having some great meetings with the teachers and staff and going over, you know, looking at how we're doing things and just being open to different ideas about how it is that we can, you know, just really strengthen what we're doing at OCB. One of the things that we've been doing in general for Department of Rehabilitation is having strategic planning meetings. And OCB has also had strategic planning meetings where we've reached out to the community, to the counselors, to students, to different groups. We do have another strategic planning meeting that we need to hold. And I would really hope that there will be representation from CCB, that you can come and give some input about our planning. So we can talk more about that, too. So are there maybe some questions?
I have a question.
Sure. Do you want me to just repeat the question? Or do you want
just
to
repeat the question.
Okay.
It's a lot easier.
Okay.
In terms of tours, does OCB have tours for former members who wish to view the premises maybe and find out what's going on despite the fact that you've given a speech?
Okay. So the question is, does OCB have tours for former students? So, you know, we in general hold tours on Thursdays at 10 where we have individuals who want to learn more about OCB. And my thought is that, you know, if that works for your schedule, we'd love to have you come. Just to remember that if you want to come for a tour and check it out, that we our real focus is going to be on the person who is interested in coming to OCB. So one of the things I know sometimes before people would just kind of drop in, and I get it, you're out of the area, you want to come see OCB, and that's great. But one of the things that I'm really focusing on is making sure that people are attending classes and they're not getting disrupted. Because we have, let's say, you know, one computer teacher and one home ec teacher with, you know, if they're out, sometimes that means that a class, you know, has to be restructured. So really trying to minimize the interruption for services for our participants. But, you know, we welcome you. Come for lunch. You know, come after, you know, after hours if you got somebody you want to come visit. The other thing that we've done is extended our day. So since we've added those classes and groups, the support groups that I talked to you about, so we're saying now that OCB hours are between 8 and 5. So kind of mimicking the work hours. Some classes end, you know, times at 4, some end at 5. But for the most part, we've ended the day a little longer. Okay, so I heard two questions from Debbie Berry, one being about the menus in the cafeteria, and then also about, I think, what happens when students get into the apartments. So I'm not sure if that was good or bad about the menus, but I can say that we are in the process of really looking at our menus and trying to improve the quality, the health that we are serving to our participants. So we are working on that area as well. Now, when the student is done with classes and identified ready to go into the apartments, we are asking the field counselors to provide some additional funding where the student goes into the apartments and they are then responsible for purchasing the food, bringing it home, putting it away, cooking breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So they're not going to be eating in the cafeteria. And we are actually just yesterday, we were meeting as a group with the teachers to strengthen that program and to, you know, since we started in May, it's given us an opportunity to look at where are strengths, where are the areas we need to do a little differently. And so we even considered, well, maybe, you know, because everybody needs a little break sometime here and there. We give out some special tickets that say, okay, you know, based on who you are, you maybe get to eat twice, you know, in the cafeteria. Here's your two free meal tickets. Or somebody might have different needs and maybe they need, you know, their dinners will be, but they can prepare their breakfast and lunch. So we're looking at that as an option to try and meet everybody's needs.
Just a second, David. There was the second half of...
I think I covered them both.
Oh, did you? Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. David, sorry.
So can everybody hear me on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, question about the effectiveness of our apartment program. So, we have found it to be very effective because, like I've mentioned, there were a couple gals that once they left OCB, they had the skills and the confidence to be able to get their own apartment. Let's see. I should have brought numbers, and I'm so sorry. But, let's see. We've got another gal who, when she left OCB, she went to down south, and she went to college and moved into off-campus housing. And so she's living there successfully. And let me see who else has gone through. There was another couple gentlemen, I'm thinking, that both, when they left OCB, they are now, one moved out of the parents' house and living with a friend going to college. Another gentleman... the same. Let me think who this has gone through. I think there are some people who had their own places when they were at OCB, and then when they left OCB, they went back home and just felt that the skills that they got has really helped them. We have one gal who's going to be graduating next week, and when she's, you know, graduating, she realizes that now she has... Given her disability, and she has also other disabilities, she has some tools. She has some ideas and ways that she can modify her living environment back home to be able to do those things independently again. So I think prior, and one of the things that we notice that when a student is done, like, okay, we're done with your classes, you've kind of maxed out, time to go in the, you know, you get to go in the apartment program. We have a teacher who is dedicated to the apartment program. We've been playing around a little bit with the name. I kind of like transition apartment program because then we can call it TAP. And then somebody liked up transition independent program so they can call it TIP. so we're playing around with the name a little bit. So what's happened is that when they're first starting off, they don't necessarily have a lot of that confidence. Or yes, they've been practicing the skills, but they really weren't putting it together. So in the program, they have the opportunity of really putting it together and seeing if it works. We have one gal that, you know, she was in the apartment program and also going to school. We've noticed her doing a little bit of weight loss and something that should, you know, she actually, that's not okay for her. So we were able to have that discussion to say you need to work on that balance, and it's very important for you because when you're in school and you're out on your own, how are you going to put it all together to make sure that you are eating healthy as well as doing some studying? So it was an opportunity for her to get that support and strengthen her her skills. Okay, so Connie, you're singing my song because I say the same thing. We can give them all the computers and JAWS and, you know, canes and all the devices, Braille. But if you don't have the support, don't believe in yourself, if you don't have those, you know, adjustment to blindness skills, it's not going to do you any good. So We actually have, and she's not here today because she's ill, but Lisa Cushman is our dorm counselor. And she also has, she just got her MFT license, and she is facilitating the support groups. And we've been getting a lot of positive feedback from the consumers, the participants, that, you know, it is going very well for them. So, you know, what happens in the group stays in the group. And but just the feedback that we are able to get is that it's helping. And then the other question is, what can this group do for our OCB students? And that is a good question. And I actually would like to ask a question because I was thinking about that. But in being here, to learn more about what it is that this group does do to help give me an understanding of how we can all work together to help support our students. But one of the things I was thinking about just off the top when we were talking about developing the membership for the alumni, my thought is that perhaps on a regular basis that we could have a representative. And I know Judy came and spoke, and I really appreciated that. That was when we got to meet and talk. And it was great because she came and shared about CCB. But I think it might be nice if we could have some representation to come and share with individuals about what is CCB and then talking about the, you know, alumni group that happens within CCB. So that would be something off the top of my head that I can think about. And then... So I think what we're thinking about that, since we have people who are come, you know, on average maybe, you know, stay about 7 to 9 months. I mean, maybe if we have somebody come, you know, every, I don't know, we could do 6 months, but then you might get a couple of overlaps. But, you know, maybe like, you know, every 8-9 months or something like that. That's okay too, right? It might help enforce it. Yeah. So that would be great, you know. I think that would be a wonderful opportunity. Did everybody hear Connie? Okay. So I think, so the opportunity of doing mentoring. Okay. So Connie was mentioning how can we be a part of supporting the students after they leave. That at in El Cerrito, I mean, OCB has been there for 50 years and 60? Well, 50, I think, in Albany. 60 since orientation opened. Right, but then 50 in Albany. Yes. And so they're used to us blind folks and, you know, are very supportive, and it's just natural. But when individuals go home, you know, they get the, oh, you can walk on your own, you know. and so they're not used to that. How do we get, you know, how can we help support? Can we mentor? And I think that would be a wonderful opportunity. And perh└““ Does CCB have a mentoring program, or is that something that could be developed here in the alumni group that you then can reach out to the students? I think one of the things I was thinking about as well is not only sharing about, you know, CCB, but if we have individuals that we have identified that would be really good role models, you know, to show like, well, this is when I left OCB, I went to work, I, you know, I did the school route, you know, that kind of just gives them a path and shows them, you know, how it's done, the struggles, because let's face it, it's not all easy, right? But it's about not giving up. So giving our current students that message. So one of the things that Jessica has been doing is having guest speakers come in, but, you know, having somebody from CCB to come in as well, not only just representing CCB, but representing, you know, a successful blind person and what your struggles and, you know, how you made it and to give that message as well.
I'm wondering if we could, you know, be like a, you know, like you said, a mentor and, you know, either email or talk to students over the phone, you know, on a one-to-one basis. You know, I don't know how that could be set up.
That's another idea. One of the things that that Jessica set up, and maybe I'm thinking so that we can reach out either during the Monday, which we now call transition group, or even maybe in the community group, or if you guys say, you know, I know a lot about school and I want to go and talk to your school group, or this is how I was able to be successful with employment. I want to talk to the employment group. But, you know, we can, even if you're out of the area, we can set up a conference call, and we've done that. So, you know, if you're able to come and you're in the local area, that would be great. If you want to, you know, set up a conference call, we can do that as well. And to be a part of that.
I want to make sure that everybody, I heard a lot of voices with questions. So let's have some more questions. Questions? If not, I've got about 86.
Oh, right. I am.
And Debbie, if you've got more, but I'm going to ask one now. Rosa, a lot of the people who heard your message in October weren't, you know, a lot of people who were here who weren't there because of the convention being in a totally different place. So you said something then, but I would love to hear you talk a little bit more about the actual employment opportunities you've created at OCB.
Thank you for reminding me. I don't want to be too redundant, but I appreciate Judy reminding me. So one of the things that I wanted to also share, and for those who didn't hear it from the October recording. So the other thing to help support, prepare our participants is we have developed an internship program. And so this is to help individuals not only practice, you know, doing the actual task, but really focusing in on some of those soft skills. Can you follow directions? Can you get here on time? Can you commit to being in this internship program? So we have it in the areas of the food service, so they're working in the cafeteria, in gardening, and so they're helping out our gardener, with custodians and helping out the custodians, and then also in the administration. So we're being creative a little bit with that. Sometimes it's just really frustrating because with, you know, Department of Rehabilitation, everybody gets a user name and password, and so you can't get a student on the computer, you know. But there's some other things. So a lot, they've been doing some administrative answering the phones, developing like the new folders, getting the files together for our new consumers. So we, you know, we have the folders set up. And then we now currently have a gentleman who's kind of helping with doing some kind of a little bit of management. So to help support this internship program, overseeing that, being a liaison between like the representatives in the different areas. So in food service, in the custodian. So kind of connecting everything. And then we are also, like, if we want to have, we've been working on looking at our emergency plan and connecting with the fire department and the California Highway Patrol, since they patrol the facility since it's state, and just making sure that all that's kind of connected together. So we're trying to, you know, meet people with what their interests are and what their capacities are and trying to help support. For some individuals, this is the first time they've ever had a job, and so it is really exciting for them to be a part of, and it helps to build the confidence and, you know, build those soft skills. For individuals who maybe have lost their vision, and now that they're blind, they you know, just don't have that confidence to be able to work in the workplace, it's a wonderful opportunity for them to, you know, to feel a part of running a system and being part of a team. Sure. So the question is about what does the apartment program look like? Once a person's in the program, how does that work? So when a person goes into the program, they're, you know, moving out of their dormitory into the new apartment. So that's going to require, whenever you move, right, you want to go and clean. So they're there to get themselves, they have to get themselves oriented. You know, everybody likes the room different, so they'll rearrange their furniture and they do their deep cleaning. They have to take all their stuff from one, you know, their dormitory room into the apartment. And so their schedule will change because sometimes, you know, they've maxed out of a different class. Like, I'm no longer doing computers. I have that mastered. So they have a little bit more time because living on your own does take a little bit more time. You are now cooking your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So when everybody gets to go run to the cafeteria, they, you know, are doing their meals. And they're also spending time with our transition apartment teacher who is helping them. So they, you know, going over different things. Like one of the things that she is really wanting to help and support them with is budgeting. So, you know, learning where do you get those deals, you know, and, you know, a lot of our individuals are in fixed income. So knowing that, you know, you can really get some great brand name things at the dollar store for a dollar instead of going to the store and paying, you know, $5 or whatever. Learning about how do you get the most for your money when you're picking out produce. Or how do you, you know, if you buy a whole chicken, you can ask, you know, the butcher to cut it and, you know, you're going to get that cheaper price. So really helping them to learn about how they can manage their money and budget, and just getting them out there. We've had, you know, people who come in and for whatever reason, they've never been in a CVS pharmacy. They have no idea what you can even buy there. So she'll, you know, go through the whole from aisle to aisle and just get them exposed. For some, let me back up. We have 4 apartments, but sometimes there are people who need just a little extra support. So they're not moving in those apartments, but they're still receiving support from the apartment teacher beyond what they're getting with their regular classes, where they can have those opportunities to say, okay, let's practice what you learned in that class again. Yeah.
Is anybody else in the room with a question? Or I'll ask Sylvia. Sylvia, you just graduated last May, is that correct?
Last February.
Last February. So you're our most recent graduate member.
I'm sorry, repeat the last part of the question.
How does one decide if a student is ready for an apartment?
Ah, okay. So, what, you know, it's communicating with the other teachers and making that decision if they're ready. I think that one of the things we just met yesterday to go over this, and one of the things we had talked about, let me back up. Prior to me being there, when Warren was there, they had developed a document related to the apartment program. So after the apartment program has gotten off the ground, we've actually gone back and just yesterday revisited that document and said, scratch this. Let's do this. Let's, you know, yes, we're doing that. This is working. We can improve it this way. So we've had an opportunity. And one of the things we're going to implement that would be helpful to just kind of make it a little clearer is having a checklist to say the teacher has checked off this person is ready in this area. So that will be a criteria. At one point, you know, I thought that it was pretty kind of restricting who could and could not. And my philosophy is anybody who wants to participate in the apartment program should have the opportunity. And that will look different for everybody based on what their functional capacity is. For some people, maybe, you know, there are individuals who will never be able to live on their own who come to OCB, but they still will need to be able to do some things independently. So maybe they're not actually living in the apartment program because of their own safety, but they have the opportunity to participate with our apartment teacher who will assist them in building some of those skills. Does that answer the question? So one of the things we decide is that we are not going to put a timeline on there because we don't want it to be restrictive. What we want to do is to make sure that individuals have the opportunity to move in to start practicing the skills and kind of, you know, solidify what they've been learning. So we're saying around 3 months, but it could be a little bit longer. We had one of the guys who came in. And after, you know, 3 weeks, he was like, you know what, I get it. This is working for me, and I'm ready to go. And so he moved out and went and moved in with a friend and is going to college.
When a person comes to OCB as the administrator, are you the first one they talk with?
Yeah, so talking about how, when somebody comes to OCB, what is the admissions process? So we have modified the referral form. And one of the things I'm really focusing on, I really want interested consumers to start thinking about, why are you coming to OCB? What are you doing now? Is somebody doing it for you? And when you leave OCB, are you planning on doing this on your own? Like, what is your whole purpose? And just really getting them to think about, this is not just about coming to OCB and hanging out for 9 months and, you know, learning some few skills. I really want to see people really taking what they're learning and, you know, really supporting them. I want them to build a solid foundation so that they are able to go home and put these practices to use. I know for myself, as a field counselor, sometimes it was really frustrating when you get a consumer who's been at OCB for 9 months, and they're leaving, and they say, can I have a mobility instructor and a cooking teacher in my home? And it's like, what'd you just do over there for 9 months? And I use the kind of, you know, transferable skills. When I think about, you know, individuals who have learned to drive, you know, they take their driving lessons, they go get their driving tests, and, you know, they drive in familiar areas. But if they're going to go down a new neighborhood or catch another freeway, they don't call up the driving teacher to say, hey, it's a new block, you know, can you show me how to manage this freeway? And I get there are those complicated streets, and I've certainly connected with, you know, mobility instructors, you know, after my, I would say, you know, really in-depth training. But, or connected with friends even, you know, so try and get them to really build those solid foundations to say, it's not about the street. It's about learning how to read the traffic, learning how, you know, to get around. And I get it. There will definitely be some people who are not going to be traveling and crossing streets, but we have paratransit. It's a wonderful opportunity for those individuals who won't be able to master those skills. But if they can get themselves onto paratransit into the, you know, the grocery store and use some customer support, then we are supporting them.
Like what you said about people may not be able to do it themselves, but if they can tell their assistant, I need this from CVS, they still have to know themselves if they're going to direct other people.
Absolutely. So we're, yeah. So the referral form is really kind of designed to have individuals start looking at things differently when coming to OCB. And so we get the referral form and all the medical documentation. Again, we're looking at, you know, when you come here, are you going to be able to manage participating for a full day? And, or, you know, will there be some modifications? We have a couple students who are going to be day students, and that's okay. There are individuals who come who are on dialysis, and so we're going to modify those schedules. So it's like, you know, because even though you can't be here every day, there's so much that you can get out of being at OCB. You know, we get all the documentation, and then we, Dr. Jeltema, everybody know that name? Because he's been around for like 20 years, I think. He is still with us, and he consults with us, and we go over the file to, you know, if there's any questions. We connect with the rehab counselor, connecting with the incoming student. And then from there, we schedule a date, make sure that the counselor's ordering all the different equipment that's needed to help support the participant while they're at OCB. I want to also add, I'm not sure if this was happening when you guys were there, but one of the things that we've been doing is at least monthly, we have been working on having Dr. Jeltema come and do talks to the students about, you know, healthcare, and they're loving it. They're really asking a lot of great questions and just really leading the group and getting some great information. So I want to really work on strengthening that, promoting health, you know, good health for all our participants.
Like, what are some examples of things that the doctor talks to them about?
So the doctor is doing presentations. One of the things he talks about, like, communicable diseases. He's been talking about, like, stroke and diabetes. So what are things that you can do to help eliminate some of these risks? And, you know, just really answering a lot of their questions that they may have. And he's just been really positive and just right there answering their questions. And, you know, I've just been really impressed with the questions and the support that they're getting from the doctor. Sure. So what? That is really cool. And when did you go to OCB? 4 years ago. That's cool. I'm going to remind them about that. I'm going to actually share this, if you don't mind, that story with our current students. So what we have is after a student has been at OCB for 3 weeks, all the teachers turn in a progress report. We compile and it's sent to the field counselor. Then after a student has been there for 8 weeks, again, there's another progress report compiled and sent. 4.5 months is the staffing. And then probably 2 months after that. Oh, so the student staffing is, I had meant that all the teachers will meet with the student and they go around and they share all the progress that's being made. And then also talk about where they see this going for the time remaining in the program, the areas that they need to focus on, and helping them support meet their goals. So that happens about 4.5 months after they're there. And then there's a kind of a tentative where we think you're going to be ready to leave in about this amount of time, which will then determine how many more progress reports. So about 2 months after that or 2 months, you know, depending on how much time. So we really tried to work on making the progress reports a little clearer so that field counselor has a better understanding and that we're really focusing on some specific areas that are being covered in the in what's being taught to the students.
Is there something similar when they exit?
We don't have an exit. Actually, the exit would be with the counselor, the field counselor, and the rehab counselor. And so even when we're not having the staffing, the rehab counselor, Jessica, is meeting with the students to say, here's your 3-week progress report. Let's go over it. Here's your 2-month, you know. So they are still getting all that information.
Do the students get a copy of the report, or do they does the counselor just go over it with them?
They don't get a copy. The counselor just goes over.
Any other questions? Again, I still have 62.
All right.
Is there anybody still in the room?
Yes.
This is so exciting. We actually only have a couple more minutes. I'm going to just say that Rosa has really not had time to finish her lunch, but I'm just going to say that you, it's so nice to have you here. I would really love it if you just say a little bit, again, a lot of these people don't know about you personally. I do happen to know that Rosa is missing a baseball game today. Her son is in Little League, and she is with us and not being an important game for her son. And so I'd like you to talk a little bit about how you manage this 60, 80-hour-a-week job, plus having 4 children and a dog. And just talk to us a little bit about how you live your life.
Okay.
I think everybody would just be fascinated to know a little bit more about you personally.
Okay. So I do have my dog, and I also have some birds. I have some cockatiels. One was rescued out of a tree, actually, and then I have a Goffin cockatoo who screams and makes everybody mad. He likes me, though, although I call my grumping, demanding bird. But he was rescued out of our tree. And then we have Amazon Lilac Crown, who talks, and then we have some chickens in our backyard. So that's really fun to go and collect eggs and feed them and talk to them. I love animals. And so how we manage. So I started working back with the department probably almost 5 years ago. It'll be 5 years in August. And, you know, my youngest was 3 at the time, and I thought this is time for me to go back. And, you know, it was perfect opportunity because there were some openings. And I was trying to figure out how can I do this? How am I going to be able to manage the kids, you know, with the homework and all this good stuff? And a friend of mine was using an au pair. She was ill and needed some help, and so she used an au pair. So it's a gal who comes in from out of country. So she said, well, why don't you try the au pair? So we figured out how we can turn our laundry room into a bedroom by doing a little, you know, construction and getting that all up and running. And so One of the ways I manage is by having a nanny who comes and lives with us. And sometimes that can be like having another child, too. But when it works really well. So that's how I feel like that when I leave home and I'm there at OCB, I sometimes forget, oh, yeah, I was supposed to call for the kids because I'm really involved in what I'm doing. But I know my kids are in good hands. So that is really comforting for me, and that helps me to be able to, you know, manage those long days and overnights and, you know, working through the weekends. So what else about me? What else? You know, what do I do for fun? check my email. So I really do enjoy the work. I mean, it's a lot of work, but it's really rewarding. When I first started off, I had worked in a few residential programs. And one of the things I thought is I want to have my own residential program. It wasn't necessarily working with the blind, you know, and blind at OCB. But I just really love being a part of working in a residential program. I think there's just so much. It's so, such a rich opportunity. You know, you're working with people and, you know, day-to-day basis, you really get to see those areas in which, you know, they need help. I mean, sometimes, you know, you work as a rehab counselor and it's like, talk to them for an hour, 15 minutes here and there. You don't get the true full picture. And I love being a part of seeing that whole true picture and saying, all right, we've got to, you know, we've really have to be here to help support you, to paint a really good picture for you. And I love being a part of that.
I'm going to take the mic back. Rosa, we want to thank you so much for being with us today. Hasn't it been enlightening and exciting, guys? It really has. And we're going to adjourn this part of the meeting and let Rosa, you can sit here happily and have lunch for a few minutes. And they want us, you remember the session starts at 1:30. And so thank you for coming. We appreciated it. And we'll see you all in the fall in San Diego or back here in Sacramento next spring. Thank you.
You have about 15 students that want to come to OCB.
Yeah, we all want to come back. You know, that's a program we could have. We should have a, for those of us who can, my husband always says, you know, you're always saying you'd like to be reminded, or now that you've cooked for 20 years, maybe there are still new skills that you're this, you know, you learned the original ones at OCB, but now you could maybe learn some new ones. And you want to have weekends or something where paying public comes in and has classes. I don't, you know, it's a little bit facetious because, of course, the students are there. How many students are there right now, by the way?
We have 21 students.
21 right now, she says.
One of the things we have talked about and thrown out is possibly doing just a reunion, you know, at OCB.
That. We should we'll help you with that, especially in this 60th year, 50 with rehab and 60 for the, I think it's 61. And there's disputes about whether OCB began in 1952 or 1953. But anyway, everybody is released. Thank you so much.